This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The West Virginia House of Delegates moved swiftly Wednesday night to pass a new 5% pay raise package for teachers, service personnel, and state police, acting on a revised revenue forecast from Governor Jim Justice. That bill made its way to the Senate yesterday, but was not taken up in committee. On last night's episode of the Legislature Today, host Andrea Lanham chatted with Senate Minority Leader Roman Prezioso about the situation from the State House.
Talk about the tone of the last few days, at least that you've experienced.
Well, it's been quite interesting. The governor, you know, came to the Capitol finally, and he's addressing this critical crisis that we're in. And I think the teachers are standing by watching things go on here in the legislature and with the governor and with their leaders. And they want some commitment that we're going to make a good faith effort to make sure that education is a priority in the state of West Virginia. And that's why they're hanging around. They feel now, I believe, if they go home, that we'll just continue to go through the motions and never do anything. And they want to be certain when they leave the Capitol that we're going to have something concrete and in place for them to take home.
Now, the Senate did take the House's message and assign the pay raise bill, which provides 5% to teachers, school service personnel, and I think state police as well, to the Finance Committee. What was your reaction to that?
Well, you know, we waited here last night. We knew that the governor had made, you know, the recommendation. The House immediately took up the pay raise deal, sent it over. We could have stayed last night and received that message. But we adjourned, and an hour later, the message came over. We weren't here. Today, we just felt that there was some kind of stall tactic in place that they really didn't want to address the issue. So my recommendation was to take the bill up for immediate consideration, have it read a first time. Let's get this thing moving. Let's make a good faith effort in front of teachers that were there, that we're going to do something, that we're going to put this 5% in place, and it's going to be passed. The governor will definitely sign it, and we go on about our business. The leadership of the Republican Party here in the Senate wants to send it to Finance for further study.
Now, I know Senate leadership has voiced some skepticism with these new revenue estimates. The Senate president today said the timing seems suspect and these numbers need more review. Do you think that these numbers need more review?
I think that the timing is suspect, but the number, I don't think the numbers are to be concerned with.
So is this 5% pay raise gone at this point? Because we heard that if the Finance Committee does validate these revenue estimates, the Senate leadership had mentioned it going to PEIA instead. Do you know what the plan for this is at this point?
We really don't. We've heard the Senate president talk about, you know, stabilization of the PEIA. It's stabilized for next year. We've taken dollars and stabilized that. There will be no increases in PEIA. So actually, we have a year and a half to take a look. This task force has a good amount of time to take a look at all the things that are built into our health care programs. So we've got time to look at PEIA. The critical issue that I keep saying time and time again is our teacher shortage. And that is directly related to the salaries. If we don't get those salaries up and be competitive, we're going to lose teachers. And what's more important is our beginning teachers.
That was Senate Minority Leader Roman Prezioso speaking with the Legislature Today host Andrea Lanham. Visit our website, wvpublic.org, to listen or watch the entire interview. Royalty money from natural gas drilling has pumped billions of dollars into Pennsylvania's economy. It helps save many struggling family farms just as the Great Recession was beginning. A decade later, the gas and the money are still flowing, but many people now say this economic windfall is being doled out in an unfair and possibly illegal manner. State Impact Pennsylvania's Marie Kusick has more.
Charlie Clark says he's grateful every single day for the two gas wells that were drilled on his dairy farm. He estimates on average he receives about $10,000 per month in gas royalties.
This is what we've done with our gas money. Was this, you know, this barn here costs $40,000 to build it, you know, and we were able to build it out of our pocket. And
growing up in rural Susquehanna County, the northeastern corner of Pennsylvania, his family used to scrimp and save just to buy basics, like new shoes. But all that changed when the gas rigs rolled into town. This is how royalties work. Gas companies and landowners typically sign a lease agreement before drilling begins. The royalty is money paid to the mineral owner, like Clark, for the right to use his resource. It's negotiated to be a certain percentage of the proceeds from the sale of the gas.
Homes, we're living like we used to, but without the stress. The bills are all paid. You know that, you know, the kids got to go to college. No problem. You go to college.
Clark is leased to a company called Chief Oil and Gas. Although he says he feels like he hit the lottery, he's acutely aware other people with similar gas wells are striking out.
And I thank God every day that it happened here and that I didn't live over there 10 more miles or 15 more miles that way to the west.
Jim Barrett lives about 40 miles to the west in Bradford County. He hops in his pickup to give a tour.
Oh, well, I think we're pretty typical mountain farm.
Like Clark, he's grateful for the drillers.
It kept Bradford County alive. This would have been a ghost town in 2008 or 2010 if it hadn't have been for the gas industry.
Barrett's got four wells on his land, operated by a company called Chesapeake Energy. He says Chesapeake is stealing from him, and he's joined a class action lawsuit against the company. Chesapeake is defending itself against lawsuits in at least seven states for allegedly underpaying royalties.
There's good farmers and there's bad farmers, and there's good gas companies and there's bad gas companies.
He estimates Chesapeake owes him hundreds of thousands of dollars for the gas it's pumped out of his farm.
It's thievery, no doubt about it.
A lot of the controversy over royalty money comes down to something called post-production costs. These are the expenses of moving gas through a network of pipelines. To cover these costs, drillers might take deductions from royalty checks. Some landowners agree to this in their leases, others don't. Gary Presler with the National Association of Royalty Owners explains.
The turning point was during the period of declining prices.
That began in 2014, when the United States was producing so much oil and gas that it led to a global oversupply. Many energy-producing states took a hit, like North Dakota, where Presler lives. There, pump jacks bob up and down, pulling up oil and a small amount of gas. Oil suddenly wasn't worth what it used to be, and the gas still needed to be transported and processed. That cost stayed constant.
And that's when people saw their checks being reduced significantly. Even though those deductions may have been taken previously, they just totally disregarded it because it to them it seemed like just a small and minimal amount.
In Pennsylvania, where wells mainly produce gas, landowners like Barrett noticed right away if companies took out big, unexplained cuts. Others never had a reason to complain, like Clark, who feels the deductions he gets are reasonable. Jerry Simmons heads the Royalty Owners Association. He says all this complexity surrounding royalties is uniquely American.
Basically, this is the only country on the planet where individuals actually own the mineral interest. It's everywhere else, it's owned by the government.
As a result, millions of American landowners hold individual leases. Over the years, some sued when they felt they were being cheated. This has led to a patchwork of court rulings in many states determining how leases are interpreted. Given that, some landowners hire a lawyer to negotiate a lease with really specific language that prohibits deductions or spells out exactly which costs can be taken out. But law professor Owen Anderson with the University of Texas says not all of them go that route.
As often happens, these landowners and mineral owners sign these leases that the company offers without negotiating the terms and without getting legal advice.
Their options are then slim. They can hire an expert to audit their royalties and go to court, but some can't afford to do that. Presler with the Royalty Owners Association says the better option is to prevent landowners from signing bad leases.
Because it's a lot easier to try to get the terms correctly done at the front end than trying to manage and fix a problem later.
His group is developing a seminar to better educate landowners. Advocates in Pennsylvania are going a step further. For years, they've been pushing for legislation to ensure mineral owners get at least a 12.5% royalty. That's already the legally required minimum rate. Back on his farm in Susquehanna County, Charlie Clark says even though he won the lottery with gas royalties, he thinks the law should ensure everyone is paid fairly.
I guess I really don't understand why the government hasn't stepped in and done just a little bit more, because I think it would benefit them too. you know, any extra money that we would get, we would be taxed on.
And over in Bradford County, Jim Barrett says he and his wife would have to sell their farm to retire. But he wants to be able to pass it on to his grandkids.
My dad and his uncles, their goal was to keep the farm going for their sons. The same thing that my grandfather said and the same thing that my great-grandfather said.
Although Barrett's hopeful things will change, like many mineral owners across the country, he knows one thing. There's not much more he can do about it. Marie Cusick, State Impact Pennsylvania.
State Impact Pennsylvania is a collaboration among WHYY, WITF, WESA, and the Allegheny Front to cover the Commonwealth's energy economy. This week's Mountain Stage Song of the Week comes from the indie rock band The Mountain Goats. Here's The Gray King and the Silver Flame Attunement.
In the secret caverns underneath West Covina, half desperate for peace with the surface dwellers, but coming to no conclusions, and now we emerge sky gray and misty. The Gray King in his new Pontiac. Some of us sworn to the effort, trying to get our shapes back. Teeth filed down to fine points. Framework too tight, strain at the joints. And I'm hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. I'm hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. I'm hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. Pretty hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. In the car with him, scared of dying, all eyes on the front seat, assuming his form, reborn in the heat. And I'm hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore.
That was The Gray King and the Silver Flame Attunement from The Mountain Goats. You can hear more from Mountain Stage tonight and tomorrow night at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.